Mother Yashoda challenged Krishna. If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide. When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. When a person is given varieties of food, there may be 101 varieties, but if one likes ordinary saka, spinach, he prefers to eat that. Similarly, although Krishna was full of opulences, now by the order of Mother Yashoda, he opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the choice. The Vrindavan is historically filled with unexpected situations. He opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of maternal affection. Om Agyantimidam Rasya Kyananjana Charakaya Chakshurum Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadadi Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Rupa Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sadrachatam Sahaganatam Rakalpitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patam Sahaganatam Rakalpitam Sri Vishakalpitamscha Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Chakakpade Kohesha Govira Kanta Radha Kanta Anavosvede Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Vipasindubhya evacha Patithanam bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo nako namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I am very grateful and happy to have this opportunity to serve all of you today. I'm trying to speak something from the this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport. He opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor
of maternal affection. I was told to speak on the subject of honoring mothers. I just found out this recently. So I don't know what to say. But I'll try to say something. In this verse, Krishna is honoring his mother. But how is he honoring his mother? He's performing the most extraordinary pastimes simply to respect and to reciprocate with her mood of motherly love. May I tell, Pastor? There is a place in Mahabhan, one of the 12 forests of Brij Bhumi, called Brahmandagat. Has anyone ever been there? The scene of this pastime took place there. The cowherd boys, headed by Sri Balaramji, complained to Yashoda Mai that your child, Krishna, has gone to a secluded place and we saw him eating dirt. Mother Yashoda was very much disturbed. Now when all the gopis used to come to experience the pleasure of talking about Krishna by complaining about Krishna, Mother Yashoda never chastised Krishna. She would just enjoy hearing Krishna's pastimes. How every morning, very early, he would go out with his friends and they would just examine each of the Brijabasi's houses, where they kept their butter, their yogurt. And then just a few minutes later, they secretly untied all the calves. So many calves. They all came running to the goshalas where their mothers were and started drinking their milk. So Gopi said, when we come to milk our cows, there's nothing left. There's no milk. The calves are drinking all of our milk. And we're running out of our houses trying to catch our calves. And while we're out doing all this, Krishna and his friends come in our house and they steal our yogurt and butter. So many ways. Sometimes they break the pots, they eat so much, then they feed it to the monkeys, and when the monkeys are so full, Krishna throws the butter on the ground and breaks the pots and said, your butter is so useless, even monkeys won't eat it. Other times, we hide it, and if they can't find it, they become angry, and they go to the temple where we worship the Lord and pass urine and stool just to make it contaminated. And then they'll go to our sleeping little babies and scratch them or pinch them and make them cry. And then they'll laugh and run away. And if our husbands catch one of them and say, Krishna, we caught you. You're stealing our butter. He said, no, you are a thief. I am not a thief. You are a thief. And sometimes we come right back and we see them. They're breaking their pots. They're eating our yogurt. But we're so charmed by that beautiful form. All we could do was watch. Cannot say a word. But now look, Krishna's just listening to all these accusations. And he's trembling a little. And he has little tears in his eyes. And he looks so innocent. But we know that he's scheming. Behind that expression, he is scheming how to steal more of our yogurt. And Yashoda Mai would just look at Krishna and smile. She could not chastise. But on this particular day, when the cowherd boy said Krishna ate dirt, so many people complained against Krishna. First is the gopis, and now the gopas. Mother Yashoda was very disturbed. She chastised Krishna.
Why you are reading?
Because her motherly love.
He knew that when she was eating the nice yogurt and butter from the gopis, it was good for his health. But dirt is not good for him. Dirt is not good for his health. She enjoyed hearing all pastimes of Krishna, but not this one. That was her motherly love. Krishna said, I did not eat dirt. I was playing very nicely, and my friends, they want to get me in trouble, so they are liars. Krishna's calling his devotees liars. Yashoda Mai said, Balaram is your best friend. He's your brother. He would never lie. He's even saying like this. Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur explains the transcendental nature of Krishna lying. Actually, if Krishna lies, it's the highest truth. Because it's only for the purpose of awakening the highest emotions of love in his devotees. Motherly affection, like all the other moods of loving relationship with Krishna, they are born of prema, or spiritual love, which is situated within the heart of Krishna's devotees. And that prema, all of its emotions, arises within the heart due to Krishna's being Bhaktivatsal. Bhaktivatsal means he is very affectionate to his devotees. When Krishna is pleased to show affection to his devotees, then that love and all of its emotions awakens. Therefore, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur explains that this quality of Bhakta Vatsal is the highest, most beautiful of all the qualities of Krishna. Because it is that that awakens the emotions that resonates with Vrindavan. So his lying was only to increase the motherly affection of his mother. And besides that, he's a small child, so he's supposed to say things like this. Yashoda Mai chastised. If you claim that you have not eaten earth, then you open your mouth. Let me look inside. Now Krishna was scared. You may say he was pretending to be scared. But actually he was scared. This is how Krishna is controlled by his devotee's love. He forgets his own supreme opulences as Mahavishnu. Yes? Mahavishnu, would he be scared of Mother Yashoda saying, open your mouth? Or he'd have to do it. Krishna loves to be conquered by the love of his devotee. He opened his mouth. On Yashoda Mai's order, he's honoring his mother. But it is explained here that Krishna opened his mouth and his Aishwarya Shakti, his Shakti of supreme opulence. In Vrindavan, it was always subdued so that the devotees considered Krishna's my lover, Krishna's my child, Krishna's my friend. The idea that he is the absolute supreme controller of all controllers, the source of all that exists, the all-powerful, would have interrupted their loving affection. So this Madhurya Bhava, Madhurya Shakti, would cover over his grandness. But on this occasion, Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti wanted to save Krishna from getting in trouble. So that Shakti, just from within the mouth of Krishna, manifested the universal form. Yashoda Mai saw the whole universe, all the planets, all the mountains, all the oceans, all the living entities, the greatest demigods, She saw the three modes of material nature. She saw the eight material elements. She saw everything, both gross and subtle, personified in Krishna's mouth. She even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She was struck with wonder. This is Krishna. How big is the universe? Even the greatest scientist cannot calculate. And this universe is only like this little tiny mustard seed in a massive barrel of mustard seeds. There are unlimited universes. This is a very small one. Brahma only has four heads in this universe. In others, he has millions of heads in proportion to the size of the universe. So she's seeing everything. But how Krishna, his Achintya Shakti, his mouth was only this big. And his mouth didn't grow. She saw through his mouth and into his belly. You know, the entire universe was simultaneously inside Krishna, and Krishna was inside the universe from the outside perspective. Yashoda Maya is looking. She's very much confused. What am I seeing? If she was an ordinary devotee, she would say, my son is God. But she could not see this way. She was thinking, am I dreaming? No, it's not possible because my eyes are open. Perhaps the demigods, by their mystic powers, are trying to delude me. But why would they bother with someone so insignificant like me? It's not the demigods. But perhaps I'm mentally deranged. But I'm not. I'm seeing things and I'm doing my duties very nicely. Or perhaps it's this, that Garga Muni, just before, he told us that our son had the same qualities and powers as Lord Narayan, and he would perform supernatural feats. Could this be the reason? Then she reasoned more. No, what does Garga Muni know? I know Krishna. What kind of Narayan? When he's hungry, he cries. And he runs to me. And when he's afraid, he cries again. When there's thunder, he runs. Mother, mother, save me. And he tells lies. And he does all mischievous behavior. This is not the activities of Narayan. Garga Muni could say what he wants, but I know who is my son. So she couldn't figure out any answer. In that state, like devotees, sometimes the inconceivable ways of material nature, or even the inconceivable ways of the Lord, we just cannot fathom intellectually. In that condition, we simply take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Yashoda Maya began to offer her prayers to the Lord. I was thinking that I'm the queen of Vrindavan, Brajeshwari, being the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and therefore all the landscape and the mountains and the rivers are all our property, and all the cows and all the gopas and the gopis, they are under our supervision. And Krishna, that he's my son, and that I'm protecting him, I'm feeding him. But this is all an illusion. Everything is happening by the power of the Supreme Lord Narayan. I am only an instrument. When she was thinking like this, Krishna began to think, if she's in this mood, then who's going to feed me milk from the breast? And who's going to embrace me and cuddle me and kiss me as a child? And then by Krishna's own potency, he increased from her heart her motherly affection. And at that state, she completely forgot that she even saw the universal form in her son's mouth. And even if she remembered, it was not important. It was an insignificance. Mother Yashoda was thinking that the different Vrijabhasis, sometimes when Krishna does something wonderful, they say that he must be a great personality, or maybe he's God himself. But let them talk whatever they want to talk. I know that when Krishna doesn't see me, he's in complete anxiety. And when I don't see Krishna, I'm in complete anxiety. So the testimony of the truth is known by Krishna in me. Let anyone else speak whatever they want. In this way, she lifted up Krishna. She cuddled him in her arms and fed him the milk from her breast. Krishna honored his mother's love by showing the entire universal form. Why did Krishna appear in this world? Of course, there are many, many internal and external reasons, but they all have their great significance to teach us. The earth is one of our mothers. There are seven mothers, according to Shastra. Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna tells in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, that he is the seed-giving father, and material nature is the mother, especially this earth. From the earth, when Janak Maharaj was plowing with ox for a sacrifice, Sita Devi, the Vadini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord manifested from the earth. The earth is providing everything for everyone. How important it is to honor the earth. Srila Prabhupada was very, very strong about farm communities. It wasn't just a detail for him. It was essential to provide a real spiritual culture. We must learn how to protect our mothers, the earth, the cows, want to speak of our real mothers. And all, Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit, a sage sees every woman other than his wife as a mother. And a wife is considered to be seen like the goddess of fortune in the house. So such a culture of honor, respect, and protection. Today, due to the plundering of the resources of the earth for sinful purposes, we're causing great pain to our mother. And look at how she is reacting. Such imminent ecological disaster. Unless we see the earth in a personal way as our own mother and offer proper honor and respect, such horrible miseries would be as reactions. So the earth was being exploited by demoniac personalities. She took the form of a cow and approached Lord Brahma. Then they all went to the shore of the ocean of milk and prayed to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And Krishna told Brahma to tell everyone else that I'm coming. So the advent of Krishna, on one level, was due to the compassion of a mother, Mother Earth, who felt compassion for all living beings who were being exploited. And Devaki, she showed her motherly love to Krishna and appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa in a magnificent form of Vaikuntha with four arms, with beautiful crowns and garlands of Kustuba jewel. But Yashoda, but Devaki had motherly affection. She knew he's God, but still her motherly affection. She was thinking, if Kamsa sees you like this, he'll definitely try to kill you. He's already killed seven of my children. What? He's afraid Vishnu's going to come, and you're Vishnu. So please, take the form of an ordinary human child so he will not recognize. How amazing. In this sense, Krishna took his beautiful two-armed form in this world because of the motherly affection of Devaki. And he obeyed, he honored his mother and became little Gopal. And later on with Devaki, when he finally came back to Mathura and Dwarka, Devaki's motherly affection, she said, my other seven children, I'm a mother. I never got to even feed them my milk. Can you bring them back from the abode of death? But Krishna brought them back. So the Yashoda Mai, who gave Krishna milk just before he left for Vrindavan, her milk was Mahaprasad of Krishna. Even though it was many years before, still her milk was Mahaprasad. So when Krishna brought the seven children back from death, Subodh, she lovingly gave them milk, and they all got liberated by taking Krishna's Mahaprasad. Another way in which Krishna honored his mother. In Ramayana, you all know the story how Kaikeyi, a stepmother of Ram, she ordered Dasarath that you gave me two benedictions. I want my son coronated as King Bharat, and I want Ramchandra banished to the forest for 14 years. Now, Bharat was away at that time at his grandfather's home. When he came back, he was outraged. He totally rejected his mother. When he found out what she did, he said, if you are not a woman, if you are not my mother, I would kill you on the spot. But I reject you. And then he went all the way to the forest of Chitrakoot on the bank of the Mandakini Ganga to beg Ram to come back. I will take the 14 years in exile. You return home. And Bharat was condemning his mother to Ram. This horrible conspiracy, I had nothing to do with it. It's only due to her greed. It's only due to her illusion. I reject her. And Ram was very grave. He said, no, Bharat, never speak like that about your mother. She may have been an illusion. You may not follow what she says, but you must honor her as your mother. And you must return to Ayodhya according to our father's desire, and you should protect and take care of your mother. That was Sri Ramchandra's instruction to the world. How to honor a mother, even if she's an illusion. Don't follow what she says. But still, as mother, to give her the honor and respect and protection she deserves. The demigods, Indra, Vayu, Agni, very, very powerful beings. But they were defeated by Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the demons. And there was nothing they could do about it. Who saved them? Does anyone know? Their mother. Motherly love is very, very powerful. All the demigods with their thunderbolt weapons and their abodes, they were helpless. But Aditi, out of her motherly affection, she felt so aggrieved to see her children in that state, bereft of everything.
She performed the payavrata, which is a sacrifice, a penance,
just drinking milk and worshiping deities and meditating on the Lord and everything like that. She performed this payavrata, and as the fruit of that sacrifice, she prayed for the Lord to become her child and rescue her own children. And Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as her child and then took 3 steps of land and got everything back for the demigods. And Aditi was very happy. In Krishna's Leela, we find the story of Draupadi and Bhima. Ashwatthama killed Draupadi's 5 little children. They were teenagers. Thank God. Can you imagine how the mother's worried as they're fighting this entire battle of Kurukshetra? And practically everyone was slain on that battlefield, but her 5 children survived. But then at night, when they were sleeping, Ashwatthama slaughtered them. Arjuna and Krishna captured Ashwatthama. Bhima was a Kshatriya. He ordered, kill him. But Draupadi, who's a mother, said, no, release him. Release him. Just kill your 5 children. Kill just Arjuna. Kill him. He must be killed. According to the law, according to justice. She said, he must be forgiven. Because his mother, Kripi, she only has 1 child. I have 5 children. I know what it's like to have all my children killed. She's a virtuous lady. She's a mother. Only a mother knows what another mother feels. What does Bhima know about what mothers feel? She is an honorable person and the wife of an honorable man, and we cannot do this to her. He must be forgiven. So here's Arjuna between Bhima and Draupadi. Very difficult situation. Sometimes Vaishnava's life is like that. Different devotees have very, very strong opinions. You don't want to displease anyone. So Krishna empowered Arjuna to just cut his hair and humiliate him. But we find something very important. They're both great Vaishnavas. On one level, Vaishnavas, like Bhima, must uphold justice. But also, that motherly side, that nourishing side, that compassionate side, is also necessary, the side of forgiveness, and how to balance the two. To be compassionate in the form of forgiveness, and to be compassionate in the form of punishment, they're both forms of compassion. The balance of the two is very essential in a Vaishnava's heart, and in a Vaishnava society. So, Bhima, Arjuna, everyone honored Mother Draupadi's opinion. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he taught honoring his mother. We can speak for a long time about this subject, but we will not. But a few things. She was a widowed mother. She lived only for Lord Chaitanya, her little Nimai. And when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas for his higher purposes, he came back to see his mother in Shantipur. And he was so overwhelmed by her motherly love that he sat on her lap. Can you imagine sannyasi like this? In public? It wasn't private. All the devotees were watching. They were watching. And he was sitting on his mother's lap, and she was embracing him and kissing him and crying on him. And he was crying, "Oh, mother, I should never have taken sannyas." Somehow or other, I was just struck by this. But I never even asked your permission. You gave me my life. You nourished me all my childhood. Whatever I have is only because of you. How could I have done that? I became crazy. Now, if you like, I'll do anything you like. I'll stay home. That's how he honored his mother. He wanted so bad to go to Vrindavan. But Sachibata, she said, "If you go to Vrindavan, I'll never hear about you, and I will not live." But the same Krishna that's in Vrindavan is living in Puri is Jagannath. So go and reside in Jagannath Puri. To honor his mother, he made his residence in Sri Purushottam Kshetra, or Jagannath Puri. And one time he sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvipa. Damodar Pandit returned to Puri, to the Gambira. Lord Chaitanya asked Damodar Pandit, "Please tell me, how is my mother? What is the nature of her devotion?" Damodar Pandit became angry as anything. "How could you ask this question? You're asking about your mother's devotion? Whatever devotion you have is only by the grace of your mother. She's the very embodiment of devotion to Lord Vishnu. She's always chanting the holy name. She's always manifesting ecstatic symptoms. And you're asking how she is? You know how she is." Now, Damodar Pandit's love was very special. Lord Chaitanya was so jubilant to be chastised by Damodar Pandit that he embraced Damodar Pandit and profusely glorified him. He said, "Damodar Pandit, you have given me such joy. You have just submersed me in an ocean of happiness because you are honoring my mother. What you are saying is true. The fact is, whatever devotion to Krishna I have is only by the grace of my mother. What she has given me, what she has nourished me with. She brought me to this world. She lovingly sustained me in this world. And therefore, I am eternally indebted to her. I have no power to repay her. She has captured me in her heart by her motherly affection." This is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored his mother. Just a few days ago, I was in Ukraine. I'd like to take this time to honor two very special mothers. One girl, I believe she was in her 20s, young girl, very enthusiastic. She just got initiated and given the name Yamunangi, which was also the name of Srila Prabhupada's great-granddaughter. And after that, she and some others were driving to the airport to see a devotee off. I think there were four devotees in the car. They hired a car. It was a hired driver. On the way, the car crashed. This was just about 4 or 5 days ago. Yamunangi was killed. Half hour after her initiation, on her way to see a devotee off at the airport, she was probably in the most blissful state of her whole life when she left this world. Another one is in, her name is Leela Nandini, she's in critical condition. And the other two are hospitalized, but their life is not in danger. Amazing how the devotees in Ukraine, just from all over the country, just came together just to serve one another in every possible way to help these the devotees, the family members, everything in this very, very severe tragedy. The next day, Gopi Lila, one of the most loved devotees of New Vrindavan, Columbus, wife of Hari Bhakta, mother of two children, little children. She passed from this world due to cancer. How she was diagnosed with the cancer was totally unexpected, and it acted so swiftly. Her simplicity, her natural purity of heart, her humility, her spontaneous desire to serve. She was certainly one of Malati Prabhu's most favorite daughters. It was a great plus. This all happened this last week. As we are all together, let us pray at the lotus feet of Radha Vrindavan Chandrarata Damodar, all the deities, Srila Prabhupada, to shower their blessings and their mercies on these two very, very divine, beloved mothers, Yamunangi and Gopi Lila. Let us take a moment. Suffer the feelings of separation from the association of great devotees when they depart from the world, there is also a feeling of joy. There are so many billions and trillions and quadrillions of little entities in this creation. How fortunate that they were sincere devotees of the Lord. And they left this world in such a wonderful state of Krishna consciousness. Very rare and very fortunate, but their loss is very painful. But another thing we learn is the uncertainties of life. They are very real. And how serious we should become about our Krishna consciousness now, because none of us know that tomorrow will ever come. May I tell you a story? A few weeks back, I was in the Himalaya mountains. Every day I would go into the Ganga and find a rock and sit on that rock. Mother Ganga is so beautiful there in Himalayas. She's beautiful everywhere, but she wears like different dresses in different places. In Himalayas, her dress is a very transparent, clear aqua blue. Sparkling, fresh, very swift current. In this rock, Mother Ganga's current was flowing on all four sides around me. The fresh Himalayan breeze. I looked up into the sky, and just above me were these small birds, winging about, making their songs, trilling, warbling, chirping. And high above all these little birds, I saw a hawk soaring above, wings wide, floating in the airways, with the confidence of the emperor of the sky. He came down, lower, lower, lower,
until he was just a couple meters above my head. His reddish brown feathers were shining in the sunlight, and his green eyes were glistening as they were gazing down into the river. Suddenly, just plunged right into the Ganga. There was a skirmish, and he came out. In his talons, or his claws, was a fish. It looked like it was almost a foot long, this fish. The hawk came out, the conqueror. And I looked at that fish. It was struggling, it was squirming, it was flapping, it was completely disoriented. And I was trying to put myself in the role of that little fish. And then I thought, we're all in the role of that little fish. I tried to do a psychoanalysis of the fish, analysis. That the fish, just like any other day of his life, is just swimming around in the current of life. He was in a school, probably dozens and dozens of other fish, that he was, his mothers, his fathers, his brothers, his sisters, his cousins, his aunts, his uncles, his friends, his cast members. They're all just swimming together, doing the same old thing they do every day, just floating in the current of life. That fish didn't know anything except the river, had no reference to any other existence except living in the river. Suddenly, at the absolute least expected moment, the hawk of fate ripped it right out of its comfort zone. And now it finds itself flying in the sky in the grips of a hawk. Helpless. Nothing it can do. Isn't that the way life is? Our tendency is we just go on with our life in a routine way. As devotees, yes, I'll chant my rounds. I finish my rounds. Yes, I'll come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Somehow or other, I'll make it through. It's Prabhupada's order, so I'll do it. Or maybe we don't do it. Maybe we have a different routine. We do our service, or we may do our sense gratification. Complacency is one of the greatest enemies of a Vaishnava. Maharaj Parikshit, he knew he had 7 days to live. How intensely he took shelter of the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the association of devotees. Prabhupada so many times said, Parikshit Maharaj knew he had 7 days. You do not know you have 7 minutes. Maharaja Yudhisthira, when he was questioned by the Yaksha near that lake, what is the most amazing thing in this whole world? Yudhisthira Maharaj said, everyone sees so many people dying. All of our forefathers are dead. When we see in the news, we see in the television, we see amongst people we know, so many people are dying. At any minute, anybody could die. It's not a matter of age. Recently, one of our little devotees, she was a 4-year-old girl in Bombay. She had cancer. This little girl's going through 6-month treatment of chemotherapy, and she doesn't even know what's going on. Her hair falls off and says, Mommy, where is my hair? Why am I so sick?
But as the mother told me, what a mother. She was with her child just day and night, sacrificing everything for that child. She told me that this children's cancer hospital is overfilled with children that age with cancer. The hospital can't make enough space to treat them all. Recently there was a cyclone in Burma. 100,000 people killed. All those people were just swimming along in the current of life like any other day. A few years ago, I was just waking up from Mangalarti in Bombay, and all of a sudden, the whole building was shaking, and books started falling from the shelves. And I heard our little children, we have an orphanage downstairs, they were screaming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It went on for about 30 seconds. Then everything was normal. But just a few hundred kilometers away, about 30,000 people died in that 30 seconds. It was an earthquake. How? When they went to sleep that night, nobody was thinking it would be anything else. They were just swimming in their routine ways in the current of life, not knowing that that hawk of fate was about to rip them out of their comfort zone. And what to speak of the people that died? Even more difficult for the people who live with the horrible crisis of all their loved ones being dead, all their property being destroyed, little children, orphans, nowhere to go, nothing to help them. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Abramabhuna loka punaravati mojana. Krishna tells us from the very beginning, don't try to be happy in this world because it's a place of suffering. The hawk of fate at any moment can rip us out of our comfort zone. So devotees should be very serious. Now, I'm not telling the story to make us pessimistic, because after all, it's Mother's Day. But we should be realistic, because real happiness, real joy, real security shouldn't be based on what is not, on Maya. Maya is very powerful. Yes, Yudhisthira Maharaj said, everybody is seeing everyone else dying, but no one thinks it's going to happen to me, at least not yet. That's the greatest wonder, he said. Driving in our cars, walking, we don't know what's happening inside our own bodies. The hawk of faith. His glistening green eyes are watching over all of us. Hare Krishna. So we want to take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of his name, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, take shelter of the association of devotees, take shelter of the deities, take shelter of prasad. Take shelter of the nine processes of devotional service in the Vaishnavas. That's the greatest benediction that we have, that opportunity. But what is our tendency? To postpone. To put it off for another day. Yes, I know I should. But when I get a little older, or after I finish this particular phase of my life. But Maya will always give you another phase of life. She'll never make it easy for you. She'll never say, yes, Prabhu, this is the time. You finished everything else off. Now is the time. Surrender to Krishna. She'll always give us hundreds of thousands and millions and trillions of excuses why to postpone and to go on with the routine of our conditioned habits. In the Bible, Jesus said, be hot or warm, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was even heavier. We should take life very seriously. We do not know. I was recently in Russia just a few days ago. And one devotee was telling me that he spoke to one man. He's an Indian living in America who for years and years has been a scientist making bombs for America. And he knew the inside story. Now, if you promise not to tell anyone, I'll tell you the inside story. Why don't you tell one devotee or 500 devotees? We know that they'll keep secrets. He said that what is in Americans, the United States of America's arsenal, if they just used 1% of their bombs and weapons, they would wipe out 90% of the population on Earth. Hare Krishna. And it is said, man never makes weapons they don't use. And that's just America. Russia has a lot too. And Pakistan, and India, and China, and maybe some other places. And meanwhile, when this is going on, tsunami waves are coming. Any moment, how many hundreds and thousands of people die from one wave? Bombs all over the place. And it's not that those bombs are under the control of Paramhamsas. Do you really have implicit faith in the people that control those bombs? Now, I'm not trying to make you scared, but be realistic. Take shelter. Understand, now is the time. Tomorrow may never come. There are so many examples. There are so many warnings. We have to take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of the process of bhakti. And of sincerely, helplessly crying out the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Now, perhaps some of you feel a little enthusiasm now. Guaranteed, 100%, as soon as you walk out that door, Maya Devi will say, but not now. Be realistic. Don't be a fanatic. You have to get this done and this done and this done. I'll give you another example. I've told this story many times, but it's a very intense story. A student at one medical college in Bombay, top student. He was chanting 16 rounds, coming to the satsangs. We were at the college. They were having satsangs every day, once a week, with senior devotees coming. Final exams. Students know what final exams means. He decided 6 months, I'm going to stop chanting, and I'm not going to go to any satsangs, and I'm going to put my full 100% energy in my studies, because what I get in my studies is what is going to entitle me to particular fields of medicine. If you get really good exams, you can go into, you know, brain surgery, heart surgery. If otherwise, you know, according to what you get in your exams, you're only given placement in certain types of careers. So very important. So he did it. Devotees were saying, come to the satsang. No, I have to study. What about your rounds? When I finish my studies, I'll chant so many rounds, I'll make up my rounds, everything, but I have to study. Parents, is that good sense? Well, I'd like to tell you the end. He was number one in the whole school in his exams. Should I end the story now?
No.
It was very good. He was number one in the school. But then there was a party for those who did well in their exams. And he was on the way to the party. And it was the same night in the same building that the satsang was going on, in the dormitory. And the devotee said, "You finished your exams, you did it. You said afterward you'd come, so come, there's a satsang. All the devotees are waiting for you." He said, "I'll come tomorrow. But today, you know, they're going to honor me. I have to be there." Mm-hmm. So they were playing all kinds of music. And they were dancing. So he was dancing to the music. He was 22 years old. Right on the dance floor, he had a heart attack and died instantly. The hawk of fate. We may not see him, but he's watching us. Just ripped him out of the river of his routine life at the least expected moment. Now I'll tell you, although devotees grieve for his loss, the students in that medical college did not miss a single round. And they came to every satsang. And they all did very well in their exams. So we do not know. This is reality. Devotees are happy because they know whatever happens. If we're taking shelter of Krishna, there's no misery, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. Not on the material platform. There's all kinds of anxieties about devotional service, but that's spiritual anxiety, that purifies us. That's a form of ecstasy, whether you recognize it or not. The Prabhupada has come to give us real happiness in that fearless state. Whatever may happen, I have Krishna, I have his name, and I have his devotees. And I'm experiencing them reciprocating within my heart because I'm taking shelter. Mother's Day, we have seen some of our most exalted mothers who exhibited such an exalted state of consciousness even in the most difficult situations. Right here, in this building, in the room just across, Kunti Devi spent her last months, mother of Ganamrita, the wonderful singer of Bhajan's Kirtans. When I was here in America, I would visit Kunti Devi each day. At one point, she was paralyzed from the waist down. Quite emaciated. She didn't even have the strength to do anything, but she would... Devotees were not so happy with the temple prasad. She would criticize, but she wanted to make them happy. So with her wheelchair, she would just go into a kitchen and cook a feast every day for the devotees. And she couldn't eat anything herself. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. And when she couldn't even do that, because she deteriorated even more, she just lay in her bed. She couldn't even lift a book because she had no strength. So someone gave her a computer with all Prabhupada's books in it. And she would just sit there and lay there like this. With her fingers, she would just turn the pages of Prabhupada's books. And devotees, however many problems they were coming to console her, she would solve their problems. She would give them consolation in their life. It's total giving. And I'll never forget that day. She smiled and looked at me and said, I am so fortunate. I am so fortunate. I wouldn't trade my position for anyone else. I said, can you explain? She said, since I've been a devotee, I've been reading about Maharaj Parikshit sitting on the bank of the Ganges, totally absorbed in hearing his guru, Sukadev Goswami. She said, here I am. I don't see this as a bed. I see this as the bank of the Ganges. And Sukadev Goswami in the form of Srila Prabhupada is speaking to me every day. And I have nothing else to do but just sit and listen to Prabhupada's words. And then she said, I never heard Srila Prabhupada speak so directly and personally to me in my heart as I'm reading his books, as I'm feeling now. I would not trade this experience. Whatever I'm going through is a small price for this experience. She was grateful. She was taking shelter at the most difficult time a person could possibly imagine. And we have Ladini Devi Prabhu. Mother, but here at New Vrindavan, she was known as Mother Ladini. These Jagannath deities we're looking at, she worshipped them year after year after year with so much love and so much devotion. Her life, her soul, her everything. Until the day that she had a dream where Balaram turned into Nityananda and Jagannath turned into Lord Chaitanya and told her, go out and preach. And then another day, Balaram and Jagannath would say, no, stay here and take care of us. And another day, they would turn into Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and say, we're all right, go out and preach. That is your guru's mission. So she went out and preached with Gaurinathai deities. What an amazing personality. Totally fearless, totally giving. And eventually she went to Africa, inspired by His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj's unbelievable compassion and devotion. She was doing non-sankirtan, and soon she was on televisions and radios and magazines and preaching. I got a letter from her once. She was in Liberia, and she talked about how there was a revolution, a government takeover by some dacoit mafia type of people, and there were just every day people were getting murdered everywhere. And she wrote that the State Department of the United States of America ordered all American citizens to get out of the country. It's very dangerous. They even sent a boat to take all American citizens out. But she said that she wanted to stay to preach. And then she wrote something that was beautiful. She said, I'm not afraid of death or torture or anything else. I'm only afraid of one thing, that I may offend a Vaishnava. Shortly after that, this gang of murderers came to the temple and lined the devotees up to shoot and kill them. But not the women. I believe there were two women. They said, you can go. But when they went to shoot, Ladini wrote, I'm not afraid of death, but I'm afraid of offending a Vaishnava. She considered it appears, that it was an offense to stand by and allow devotees to be killed. She didn't have a chance. They had guns. The leader of the whole gang, she grabbed his hand and said, no, you cannot do this. You cannot kill these devotees. She knew. She must have known that she would be killed by doing this. But she would rather die serving a Vaishnava than to live knowing that she didn't. And that is how Krishna took her life.
and shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. We should honor these mothers. They are like acharyas, teaching by their example, by their life, practically.
Prabhupada sent Malati Prabhu, Jamuna Prabhu, Janaki Prabhu to London with their husbands. That's a detail, their husbands. On Mother's Day, anyway. And look what they did. Malati Prabhu is the first mother of ISKCON. Child born in the movement was from Shamsundar and Malati Saraswati, and how Prabhupada loved that child and how they lived to serve Prabhupada's mission. And at one point Malati Prabhu, she was on the verge of death in the hospital. There was practically no hope for her survival, but somehow or other Krishna gave her another chance and see what she's doing, giving her heart, her life, her soul, her everything. Now, everyone may not agree with her managerial techniques. Some people do agree, but that's a detail. Even if there is, at the most it's a podmark on the moon. But what is her dedication? What is her surrender? What is her complete determination? She's taking shelter. And it's because of her that there's this festival of inspiration. Thank you, Malati Prabhu. I'll end class with one other example, with your permission. Because Malati Prabhu ordered me to end by 9:30, and I must honor her as my mother. A couple years ago, in India, we have an annual festival called the Puna Yatra. It began with about 30 devotees, and last year it was about 4,000 devotees. For 4 days, we just go to, it's amazing, we go to a devotee's backyard. It's a nice backyard, though. And we have a four-day festival of simply hearing and chanting and association with devotees. It's very, very inspiring. It's like our version of the Festival of Inspiration in India. So, a couple of years ago, our beloved Gaurvani Prabhu, he came, and he was very popular. Just his personality and his smile and his wonderful kirtans. He was just putting devotees in so much joy with his kirtans and his devotion. So he became extremely loved by all the devotees. And at the end of the 4 days, we have a closing session where some, there's usually about 10 Prabhupada disciples that come, sometimes more, sometimes less, and they speak, and anyone, you know, just a closing message to everyone who has come. So we asked if anyone else would like to speak. Gauravani Prabhu came up. And what he spoke, very deep emotion he spoke. He said how in his life he was born a devotee, he was raised a devotee, but he made choices very much to serve Maya. He said, the only reason I'm here today, the only reason I'm Krishna conscious, I'm with you, I'm serving you, is because of the power of the prayers of my mother. Tears in his eyes, and his voice was cracking when he was talking about Rukmini Prabhu. He said, whatever I went through in life, my mother's example of steadfastness in Krishna consciousness and her prayers to bring me back to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. He essentially said, that's my only qualification, is the prayers and the love of my mother. With these words, we offer all ladies Happy Mother's Day. And let us thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.